Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
There are some things in life that nobody escapes. It is not if you're going to do it, it is how you're going to do it. In fact, every single one of us inside here today is engaged in the activity we will address this morning, because God addresses it. Some of us do well at it, some of us don't do so well, but all of us can do it the way God wants us to do it. It's interesting to note that when God created, way back in the Garden of Eden, every time God created, he said, "It is good, it is good, it is good." And then we come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and God says, "It is not good." Now that should catch your attention, because everything has been good so far, and now God says this is not good. And in the context, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone, and I'm going to make a wife for him." What God was saying is that human beings, you and me, we are relational beings. Every one of you is involved in some kind of relationship today. Here is the trouble. For most of us, our relationships aren't working the way God intends them to work. And in the text before us this morning, God addresses our relationships on several levels. He speaks to us as we relate to our society. He talks about how you relate, you should behave in society. He talks about what your relationship should be at the workplace. And then he takes it home to marriage. Now here's what is interesting. And some of this morning going to be definitely politically incorrect. But I found sometimes if you're going to be biblically correct, you have to be politically incorrect. Each of these relationships is not a relationship of equals as they are addressed in the scriptures. And here's what God does in this portion that we're going to look at. God speaks to the person or persons who occupy the subordinate position in the relationship. And as I look at these three relationships, and these relationships are going to bear further individual study. But what we want to do this morning is to give you some overarching principles which jump out of these relationships, which are crucial as to how you will live. And let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And the portion we're going to look at, the text is a little lengthy. We're not going to do all of it in detail. I struggled about whether I should have you read all of it in one sitting. But I think it's important that we do. So I want you to pay attention as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. And I want you to listen. Interact. As we read, follow in your Bibles. Think through what God is saying. See if even you can discover the principles even before we share them from the Word of God. There are four principles we're going to highlight this morning. And you look for them yourselves as we read. Now listen. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I've suggested to you that these portions will bear more detailed analysis this morning. We're not going to do that. But you know, I've been thinking that when I preach from chapter 3, I'm going to preach about hideous women and puny men. Hideous women and puny men. And we're not going to talk about that this morning, but I want to talk to you about four crucial skills, four crucial requirements for building relationships. And it doesn't matter where the relationships occur, whether they are in the home, they're in the workplace, or in society as you relate to government. God says these principles are common, and if you can understand them and you can embrace them, you're going to find out that you are able not only to live successfully in this world, but to live a strong testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have looked on this portion, what are these qualities that every person who desires to build relationships the way God wants us to build them, what are these qualities that we must have? Well, as I look in this portion, as I said, rather lengthy, the first thing that jumps out of me is that if you're going to build relationships God wants, you must develop humility. You must develop humility. Have you noticed? In verse 13, the Lord says, submit yourselves. In verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters. In chapter 3, verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. All right, let me plunge right in and get politically incorrect right away. All right, because I told you this morning that we're going to be politically incorrect, but I hope that when I'm done, I am biblically accurate. You have to practice humility, and you have to develop humility if you're going to live in this world, if you're going to relate as God wants, because get this. The Bible says, in some relationships, you and I must occupy a subordinate position. It suggests to me that we are not all equal. Now, I know, we live in the 21st century, and we live in an age when one of the great lies which has been foisted upon us is that every one of us is equal. We're all equal. Now, I understand the goals and desires of this kind of thinking, but let me say this to you. As you look around you in life, you know instinctively that that is not true. We're not all equal. Are we? You look around and you will notice immediately that there are differences in all of us. Differences in our circumstances, differences in our abilities. And let me say this to you. Differences in even abilities God has given to us. But we live in an age when people try to suggest when it comes to relationships that we are all equal. Now let me say this to you. God has made all of us, and all of us are valuable to God. But God says as you begin to relate, relationships most times are not made up of people relating on equal footing. In case you don't understand it, the Prime Minister is considered to be a little more important than you. You know, if the Prime Minister were to come to church, by the way, let me just check. How many in here brought your bodyguards with you this morning? You had an entourage that just walked in and followed you to church this morning. Some of you said, oh, I brought the angels with me this morning. All right. Well, let me tell you something. If the Prime Minister were to come to church this morning, there would have been an entourage of protective persons walking in with him. Probably some of you would probably even get searched before you come inside here for service this morning. You know why? It's one thing, this is reasonably unfair, it's one thing if some crazy criminal gone down near you. We become a statistic and we say, boy, poor thing, a member of Hillview Baptist Church was gone down this morning. Pretty much probably only we mourn. If some crazy idiot come up here and gun down the Prime Minister on our premises, we wouldn't have hand to deal with news media, police, all international media. Hold on, if all of us equal, why is it if I drop that international media, don't fly down here, come find out? Tell you something. The Bible says you're going to have humility because you have to look up sometime and say to somebody, hey, you're occupying a position above me and I'm going to take my rightful place. And in society, God says submit yourself to the laws of your country. Listen, I'm not going into all the details this morning, but I'm saying to you, you have to be humble enough to place yourself under your country's leadership. And it don't matter if your name go change no course or if you are intending to change course. It doesn't matter who the person is. God says when we set up leaders, there ought to be a respect. Let me talk to some of you inside here who, if an official party in a power, you talk some ways about your leaders and you're going to answer to God. I don't have to like everything a leader does. I don't even have to like the leader. I need to have respect for my leaders. Because it says, it is God's will for me to do that. And the way to do it is that I must be humble. Because sometimes, even though part of humility is learning to do what is right, even when you don't like to do it. Hey, how many of you have... All right, so it's a government fan. What about your bosses? What is the attitude that you should have towards your bosses? You know what God says? Servants. Oh, and I know that there's a sense in which when Paul wrote things were a little different from today. But he says servants must have an attitude of respect to their bosses. And not only to the nice, wonderful bosses, but even to the ones the Bible called them froward. And then you work for some people who just miserable and hard to work for. What looked like when they were trying to find a definition for miserable, they could just take your boss picture and put it in the dictionary. And said that mean miserable, and that mean unkind, and that mean wicked, and all those kind of things, callous. God says, even those persons, you occupy a subordinate position because he's boss and you are employee. You have to have humility. Do I dare tell you this one? Now when we get to chapter 3, God says to the wife, you occupy a subordinate position to your husband. Yeah, I know this is the 21st century. I know that we are the enlightened age. But may I tell you something? The God of all ages has spoken. And God says in a marriage relationship, the husband is a leader, and the wife occupies a subordinate position. Hey, I didn't make up the rules. I'm just telling them to you. You might not like them, but that is your business. I'm telling you what God says. Oh, you know what is interesting here? In all these relationships, by the way, just let me just throw this in. God speaks to the citizen without addressing necessarily the governors and leaders about how they should operate. God speaks to the servant without necessarily addressing the boss. And then he speaks to the wife. But in verse 7, he also addresses the husband. But I want to say to you loudly and clearly, as politically incorrect as it is, God says in a home, in a marriage relationship, a wife occupies a position subordinate to her husband. God says, I am setting up the man as a leader in the home. You might not like it, but God says you need to be humble enough to work with it. And I know some of you can immediately tell me, Pastor, I can give you a dozen reasons why I can't be subordinate to my husband. Fine. Let me give you one reason why you need to be. I only have one reason. God says so. Pick out your other reasons and line them up against that. I don't need any other reason. Listen, I don't have to argue that the man is smarter, because most time he's not. I don't have to argue that the man is stronger, because some of you might be stronger than some of we. I think I can take on most of you inside here and come out on the winning side, but there might be one or two. No, I see some of these little young people look at me as if like, Pastor, please, you know. But here's what we're saying. I don't have to go and try to dig up all kinds of crazy ideas to try to convince you. I only need to let you know that this is what God has said. And then you can go argue with God afterwards. We are not all equal. God says that. And it takes humility to understand and accept that. Here is the other thing. I said, you must take a subordinate position, and I emphasize subordinate. Here's the interesting thing about this, why you call for humility. It is that you must take the position. God says, you submit yourself. Here's what God is saying. Nobody should have to beat you into submission. God is saying, you have a responsibility to make that decision yourself, to say, I am going to live the way God wants me to live. I am going to be the kind of citizen who I am going to live in a way that shows that I am disciplining myself to obey the authorities in my country. When I go to the workplace, the boss has to stand up over my back to look to see if I am doing. I will discipline myself to occupy the position God has told me to do. And wives, the same thing. Your husband not to contrive, pulling on card and going like, you will place yourself in the correct position God has told you. That idea about subject and submit talks about an army. Has the idea of an army where people have different ranks. And those below place themselves in proper order under those above. Does that call for humility? You bet it does. You bet it does. Because it's not always easy to accept somebody being over us. But God says over and over in this portion, you have to be humble because you have to learn how to submit. The command is given, you must obey it. So critical quality is you have to be humble, you have to have humility. Well, what is the next quality you need? You only need humility, but you need endurance, strength. When you begin to look in this portion, God talks about learning to put up with some things which are not learned, to have endurance, because earthly relationships will be challenging. Why are earthly relationships challenging? You know why earthly relationships are challenging? Because you have two sinners trying to relate to each other. Let me tell you a secret about sinners. I'm not talking about you and me. You know something? You know a basic thing about sinners? We are very selfish people. We are always looking out for number one. Or sometimes when it looks like we're looking out for the other person, we're looking out for the other person because we're looking out for ourselves. I used to hear sometimes some of these people talk about what they call an enlightened self-interest. That is what the world is passing on to. What they're saying is, you will look out for somebody else, but you're really looking out for somebody else because you're looking out for yourself. So look here, I won't treat a youth rough, because you know what? If I treat the youth rough, he might come back tomorrow and shoot me. So it's not because the youth should be treated nicely, but me don't want him come tomorrow and shoot me, so I'm going to treat him nice. You see how it goes? Now listen to me. Some of us are nice and wonderful to government to get something. Some of us in the workplace, we are the best workers if the boss going front up with something. The minute the boss don't give me what we want, we turn acid and vinegar. Do I dare step into the home and talk about marriage? That there are times when we get into the situation of marriage, and listen, all of us in there trying to exploit somebody is who is exploiting who, and I'm talking to husband and wife too. Some of us, when we get into the home, your home is a boxing ring. You just need to put up the cards around the house for us to know. Because you know what? Husband and wife inside, they're sizing up each other, looking for an opening to see where you can jab through. Because you don't understand that in these relationships, you're not fighting. You're supposed to be working together. But earthly relationships tend to be difficult because human beings are selfish people. And we start looking up, and God says, because of that, oh Lord, help me. There are going to be times where you are going to face wrong. The idea especially comes up when God speaks to the servant. And you know, human beings are selfish, and then power tend to corrupt people. Anytime you put somebody in power, they start looking for somebody to exploit. And some of you say, not me. Give a little power and see what happens to you. Boy, these are my favorite beating horses when I pick on this subject. And I don't mean any offense to those of you who are in this profession. But you ever give somebody a security work and say, what happened? All of a sudden, you think the security own everything. You can't go nowhere and you can't do nothing. And they may make you know and say, look here, you have to come to me if you go inside. And me now let you in. And you say, look here, do you know that it is my business that helped to pay you? That hasn't crossed his mind. How many of you have been to a business place and you're trying your hardest to talk to somebody and the security won't let you in? Won't give you the time of day. Why? He has authority. Him can tell you, say no. You see, especially if you need to come somewhere you never treat him good. Watch out for you and him. And the higher up we go, that's how we are. We tend to be exploitative. And so people will exploit us. If you're occupying a subordinate position, God says you're going to have to learn endurance. Because let me tell you something. People are going to be unkind. In verse 18, he says, some of the bosses will be good and gentle, but some will be forward. And then he suggests to us that you are not going to be able to right every wrong. You're going to be in situations sometimes where you can't correct what is right, what is wrong. You can't make it right. And what you're going to do about that? You're either going to be bitter or you're going to learn to endure difficulties. The Bible says, this is thankworthy in verse 19. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, God says it's no big deal if you do something wrong and get your medicine and you take it. And most of us, that's where we are. Look here, if I do something wrong, pour on the medicine. God says, how about when you're not sick but you get a good dose of medicine anyway? Can you handle it? Oh, you've been doing what is right and you're doing your best and somebody come in and ill-treat you. Well, let me tell you something, for most of us, it's big fight that we finish. And we pick up a placard and we want justice. And God says there are times when if you're going to build relationships, you have to learn how to endure what is wrong. But here's something I want to hit on and come back to a little later. It says, as you do that, you are learning to develop Christ-likeness. Here's what the Bible says. In verse 21, listen to this. For even hereunto were you called. God says, you were called for this. If you are a Christian, part of your calling is to learn how to suffer wrongfully. Hello, did anybody tell you that? That if you are a Christian, God says you're going to have to learn how to endure difficulties. Because he says Christ did it and Christ left us an example. He says he didn't do anything wrong, but when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When they said harsh things to him, he could have said some harsh stuff. Let me challenge you. You ever had somebody tell you some word that really burn you? Say some stuff to you? What do you normally do?
Why, some of us, we let out some stuff out of our mouth, we can't believe it's a Christian mouth that. And some of us, if we can't come out with anything right away, we go sit down and meditate and think. And say, what me can't tell him, say, what me can't tell her, say. You all call your friend and ask for advice. And when you get the hottest word you can get, you go back to go deliver it. And God says, shame on you. You're going to have to learn how to endure wrong. Because when you can endure wrong, you begin to look like your Savior. One of the greatest things that can happen to anybody on this earth is that you begin to look like Jesus. I don't care who you look like. You know, sometimes people tell you look like some people. I tell people I have a familiar face. You know why? Almost anywhere I go and I'm introduced to somebody, they say you look familiar. And so I have determined I have a familiar face, you know. Because people always say I look like somebody. And you know, one of the outstanding ones for me though, and nowadays I think we must have grown apart. You know, there was a time when I was a youngster and I used to work at a bank. And people come up to me and say, will you stop working at the airport? And I say, I don't work at the airport. And they say, you're not an immigration officer? And I say, no. And they say, oh, your brother is the immigration officer. I say, no, I don't have an immigration officer. And then I'd be walking on the road and somebody would say, hey, me just see you out airport for a while. And I say, no, I've not been out there. I don't work out there. I go to a function, a lady come to me and say, you know, that thing you're doing for me. And then she said, you're not the immigration officer, are you? And I said, no, it's not me. I finally met the gentleman, but I don't think him look like me. But anyway, people would confuse us all the time. You know what would be great? If when somebody look at me, not the looks on my face, but when they see my behavior, they could say, you know, you look like Jesus. You remind me of somebody. Your attitude in difficulties reminds me of somebody named Jesus. What a compliment. But you know what? Most of us who name his name, when we get into difficulties, we don't look nothing like him. The Bible says you have to have endurance. Look here, I need to hurry on. Let me move on. You have to have humility. You have to have endurance. And then the Bible says, if you are going to relate right and succeed in this world, you have to have wisdom. Because here's what the Bible is saying. As you read through this portion, there are some other things going on which are more important than your personal rights and comfort. Now, to this day and age, that is sacrilege. Because we believe that the most important thing in this world is that I am comfortable and that I am happy. I've heard it so many times. Pastor, everybody deserves to be happy. God wants me to be happy. Lie. It's not true. God wants you to be holy. In fact, God will make you decidedly unhappy if it will help to make you holy. Go read Hebrews chapter 12 if you don't believe me. The Bible says, I will chasten you. God says, I chasten you. And then he says, I scourge you. And he says, no chastening for the present is joyous. It's grievous. So if God wants you to be happy, why would he chasten you? And tell you that it's grievous. But there are some of us who think our personal comfort is the most important thing. Here's what God says in this. That there are some things going on that you must be aware. The Bible says, you are God's instrument if you learn how to relate right. Because it says in verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. God says you need to live in such a way that your life becomes an instrument that God can use. There are some people who don't know anything and have a way of saying some things about Christians and Christianity. And say all kinds of unkind things about us and about our Lord. And God says, I want to take you and put you into some difficulties and let them watch you and make them have to shut up their mouth. And so you have to learn that sometimes I'm in this difficulty because there is a greater program going on out there and God is using me as an instrument to convict somebody and say, hold your mouth, because see, one of God people here, we can't handle difficulties. Sometimes God wants to use you to get this wife to convince a husband who will not come to church and listen to any preaching. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they don't obey the word, they may be one without a word when they see the lifestyle of the wife. Look here, I'm not saying it is easy, but I'm saying to you, some of you, the most powerful evangelistic thing you could do in your home is to be a good wife to your worthless husband. Because so you call him. Yeah, I know some of you call him so. But listen to this. If you could learn to be a godly wife before him, God says he can use your testimony and be a challenge to him and win him to himself. There is a program going on, and God says you can do something. You can, God says it's not just about your happiness. I can use you as an instrument. And then God says also, I want to sharpen your vision so you understand what is important and what is good. The Bible says if you develop wisdom, you will understand that there is great strength in dealing with injustice. When you are dealt with unfairly and you can take it, the Bible says this is thankworthy with God. This is where you are praised. So you're saying, look here, it don't matter to me that I have to get my rights, but I'm going to learn how to bring glory to God, that God can be praised even when wrong is done to me. And then God says to the wife, if you really want to be valuable in God's sight, he says, develop a meek and quiet spirit, because that is in the sight of God of great price. God values that. And God says, I want you to learn these principles. But you know, beloved, the fourth quality that you need, which is, I think, is the all-important quality, and which is where God is bringing us to, is that you must have faith in God. You know what God says here? When you are building relationships and you occupy the subordinate position, the thing you have to do is to trust your welfare to God. And let me tell you now, friends, that is where you really begin to triumph. Because you know what the Bible says in chapter 2 towards the end? It says in verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The believer places himself into the care of God and says, other people might want to do me wrong, but I'm going to trust God. In chapter 3, he said the same thing to the wife, because some wives are going to say to me, Pastor, if I place myself in subordination to my husband, the man go exploit me. He's going to treat me in ways he shouldn't treat me. The Bible says here in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3, for after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. God said, don't be terrified. Obey me and live before your husband how you should live, and watch me handle your husband. And by the way, husbands, I haven't mentioned anything about verse 7 yet. But God said, live with your wife right, or you're in trouble. Because God says, some of you, you'll never have any footing with me because you don't treat your wife right. But we'll come to that at a later time. All we're saying to you, that's not for today. God is saying, you and I are going to have to learn to trust him with our welfare when we get into relationships where there is a superior to us and we are inferior, because sometimes there's nothing we can do about it, but we have to know that God is for us. Did you listen to the choir sing this morning? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Listen, those guys who play football, he will not let anybody kick out your foot. You ever watch some football? I've seen it happen sometimes. I saw it at camp this past summer. I was a camper counselor. And they're playing the game, and the counselor had the ball, and he beat the camper and was running, and the camper just kicked him down. Spread him out. And then he run, go kiss a high five with him brethren there. I'm kick down no more. Listen, God says, I will not allow that to happen to you, because I am your keeper. Let me say this to you now. The real test of your Christianity is whether you can completely yield your welfare to God, where you can trust him to be the one to look out for you. Because sometimes when you get into society, it looks like the government often mash you up. Them take all these taxes out of your money and then hike up the prices, and you say to yourself, we can't survive. They'll tell you go in the workplace and it looks as if people want to harm you. Sometimes you get even into marriage and you begin to wonder, is where this demon was before you did say I do. But here's what God says. If you will trust me, I will protect you. If you will trust me, I will protect you. Some wicked boys one time decided to mash up them brother. Never like him. And they took him and sold him as a slave. You know the story, don't you? Wash their hands of it, they thought. In fact, they could never get rid of what the wickedness they had done. For years, it bothered them. The next time they said brother, they couldn't recognize him. Because the brother they sold as a slave and told a lie to the father that he was dead. The next time they saw him, he was dressed in kingly robes. He was in the leading world power of the time, and he was second in command. They never recognized him. And when he said, hi, it's me, they nearly dropped down. Talking about Joseph. And here's what Joseph said. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, you never sent me down to Egypt. God did. Listen to me, saints. If you are a child of God, nobody, no boss, no government, no husband, no wife, nobody has ultimate authority over you except God. And if, in case you don't understand, them can't touch you unless God says it. Not even Satan can touch you unless he gets permission. And so here's what we're saying. You can live right in your relationships because you are living the way God wants you to, and God will protect you. Some of you down there right now saying, Pastor, you can't stay up there preach, but me not listen to you because you don't know what is going on in my life. I don't know, but God knows what's going on. And I'm saying to you, the issue is not whether you're going to believe me, but whether you're going to believe God. Can you trust your soul to him who judges righteously? God sees, God knows, and God will do what is right. And that is a challenge to you this morning. In effect, if you are going to build solid relationships, if you are going to be an example to this world, if you're going to be a testimony for God, you have to be surrendered to God. There is no other way. And that is why some of you don't have good relationships, because you're not surrendered to God. I don't tell me all day that somebody feisty. Pastor, you don't know him feisty. I'm saying to you, are you surrendered to God? Because God says, I will look out for your interest. Beloved, if you're not saved, I can't even make you that promise. But I can tell you this, if you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God begins to look out for you, and God protects you in the various relationships of life. May God help you to surrender to him, and then live out your Christianity in the way God wants you to. Bow your heads and your hearts with me. Help us, Lord, to hear you. Help us to obey you. These things are not easy to embrace, but we know that as we embrace them, your grace will cover our lives. And we trust you for that. And we are willing to endure difficulties because they will build us up. We're willing to be humble and adopt our place. We're willing to be wise and recognize that you are doing so much more than what meets the eye. And I pray that we would have trust and faith in you to work things out in our lives. With our heads bowed, may I just speak to some of you this morning? I want you to think seriously. How have you been relating in your relationships? How have you been behaving? Some of you at the workplace, you have some things you need to repent of. And even as early as tomorrow when you go to work, you need to pull aside your supervisor or your boss or somebody and say, hey, I've not been behaving right. There's some of you need to go home today, and I'm talking about wiser husbands, and to say to your spouse, I have not been what I should have been. There's some of you who need to confess to God that as a citizen, I have been rotten. But now I recognize that there's a divine responsibility, and I want the faith to trust God and to do what is right. Oh, I've been trying to protect myself, but God spoke to me this morning, and I want to trust him. I wonder if there's some of you I should pray for, because you're asking for God's grace to go out and do what is right. And you're saying, Pastor, I want to go and make these things right. I want to live with that trust. Would you pray that God would give me the grace to do that? I would be happy to pray for you. If you'd raise your hand, God bless you. I see it. God bless you. God bless you. You can take it down. God bless you. I wonder if there's somebody here who does not know Jesus. And you say, Pastor, those things sound difficult. They sound impossible to me. I understand. You know why they sound that way? Because only God can give you the grace to do it. And you're saying, I'd like to trust Jesus Christ. I want him to fill my heart and life. Would you pray for me? I'd be happy to do that. I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. Is there one here like that this morning? Would you raise your hand, take it down? I see it. I'll include you in prayer. God would love to save your soul today. Would you let him? Lord, in these next few moments, help us to be obedient to you and to do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.